Now, for our reading from God's Word this morning, we're turning to the New Testament and to Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm reading the opening 11 verses there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Our text this morning will be verse 7, but I'll read the context. 1 Peter chapter 5, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. May the Lord be pleased then to bless that portion of his inspired word to our hearts. Now our text this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. It reads, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Simply this morning I want to introduce the theme. Secondly, then, to interpret the text and the terms, the words of the text. And then thirdly, to simply illustrate this truth in the life of the man who wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter. Introducing this theme simply this morning, this verse deals with a very important matter. Also, it provides us with a wonderful answer. The question is, who cares? Who cares? As we live life each day, we desire an answer to this nagging question. Does anybody care about me? Does anybody care as to what I'm going through at the moment? Think what a difference a positive answer could make to a young person beginning to make important decisions and choices in their educational life or their emotional life. Simply to know that there is someone who cares for them and wants the best for them. That they could be sure that someone cared about them and for them. You see, for some, this question only surfaces when the events and circumstances of life take a particularly negative turn. When, as a result of coronavirus and coming out of lockdown and furlough, it's realized that the job that seemed so secure is now lost. it has no long-term future in it. Or perhaps, again, because of time spent so much together with all the financial difficulties and pressures, a marriage begins to fail. Or again, in the context of work, or perhaps the neighborhood, or in the context of family, a friendship has turned sour. Or when the storms of life are blowing around us to such an extent that it seems that the waves of sorrow and despair and death will sink our boat. It's at those times that in our hearts, even if we don't express it verbally, we're asking, does anybody care? Now, it's not a modern question, this idea that our generation are so advanced and so emotionally sensitive that we are experiencing these sort of feelings and questions that previous generations, hard-hearted people, didn't have any idea of. No, this is a human condition. It's not a modern question. It's been asked many times in the past. Peter himself and other disciples asked this question on this very point, when they themselves were in a boat, caught in a furious squall, a storm, successive gusts of wind bringing large waves into the boat, into the vessel. Jesus, where is he? He's in the stern, at the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And the disciples wake him urgently. And here's the question. You find it in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And this verse then introduces us to all the duties and the responsibilities and concerns and burdens that come with adult life. Now, I certainly know that growing up can be difficult. And some of the experiences in school and those factors that as we are growing up and all the emotions and all the sort of hormones that are kicking off in us, it can be a difficult time. But adult life brings its difficulties. There are legitimate things, are there not? The care of the family, the bringing up of the young, as well as supporting the elderly relatives, the provision of food on the table. Paul could speak of all these experiences himself. He could speak of all those things that he experienced and endured for the gospel's sake. He speaks in a letter he wrote to the Corinthians, his second letter, that he'd known what it was to be stoned, beaten with rods, flogged and shipwrecked. And then he says, on top of all those things, he speaks of that which was not only that which was outside of him, but that which he experienced internally, which comes on me daily, he says, the care of all the churches. The NIV translation says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure, here it is, the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And it might be this morning that you know something of the pressure of your concern. Not perhaps so much for yourself, but for others who are near and dear to you. Often these concerns can feel like waves coming over us, overwhelming us. How can we manage? How are we going to get through today? How are we going to get through this week? How are we going to get through this next month? We mentioned it to the boys and girls. Martha experienced something of this feeling of responsibilities and burdens that come in adult life when she had Jesus visiting her home. She was so concerned to make sure that everything was perfect. The food was prepared. It was cooked correctly. It was served presentably. And she felt something of the pressure of it all. And she also felt that her sister Mary was not doing her bit. And so she expressed it. She felt how she felt about it. Luke 10 verse 40, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? You could feel like that in a marriage. I'm doing it all. Nobody's helping me. You can feel like that in a workplace of work, and no one else is doing what they should be doing. You could feel like that as a pastor, that no one really is coming to your aid and to help with the work of the gospel. And so this thought that is expressed here, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you, is a theme that is real. The pressure Martha felt may perhaps certainly have been that which she was bringing on herself. Was it that she wanted to be the perfect host, the perfect cook, the perfect entertainer? And so perhaps a simple meal would have sufficed, would have been adequate. But was part there perhaps of that undue pressure the thought that she'd brought it on herself in terms of her pride? Some commentators agree that verse 6 and 7 in this fifth chapter of 1 Peter are to be considered together. We are to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. We're to accept his sovereign providences and also cast our anxiety on him. Pride is often at the root of most of our anxiety. Our desire to make a good impression, to be well thought of, or to be liked may mean that we take on too much in the context of work, in the context of church life, in the context of the community, and the burden of the duties begin to weigh us down. So we've introduced the theme. Now let's look carefully, secondly, at interpreting the text and the words, the terms in the text. Before we look at the text in detail, let's remind ourselves, first of all, that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is alluding here to a verse found in the Old Testament. Psalm 55 and verse 22, which reads, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you." Now, the Authorized Version translates, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you." It's a lovely promise, but let's not take it out of a context. Psalm 55, let's get a context there. And let's see immediately that Psalm 55 is about ordinary life. And it's about something that's happened in the life of the king, King David, that has caused him to feel concern. What's the background in Psalm 55? Well, it's a lovely promise, certainly, but the psalm's context is the betrayal of a close friend. Commentaries suggest Ahithophel, David's counselor, who defected to Absalom during Absalom's rebellion, is referred to here. Psalm 55, verse 12 to 14 reads this, If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. You know, I'd face that, and I think I could overcome that, because he's my enemy. If a foe was raising himself against me, I could hide from him. I could escape from him. I could say, well, I don't know him. I don't have to pay attention to that. The psalmist goes on, but it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God. What was troubling David was the pressure, the burden of a friend's betrayal that was being cast on him. He was being cast now upon the Lord in that circumstance. And our Lord Jesus himself knew something of that, didn't he? That's the reality of it. Judas is the Ahithophel of the New Testament. A close friend for 3 years, betraying him to the Sanhedrin. Now that's the link to the Old Testament. Now let's consider the terms that are used in this verse as they clarify and explain to us this morning what this verse means to convey. Cast all your anxiety on him. That verb cast means to hurl upon. It's used literally in the verse where the disciples cast their garments on the back of a coat that Jesus sat on as he journeyed into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Here in this verse, it's used figuratively. It's a way of describing the throwing, the casting, the hurling of all our concerns upon God. The tense of the verb is also important because it points to an act that is once for all. We lay our whole life with all its cares before God. Now here's the lesson immediately. You see, we sometimes think 85%, depends how strong you feel, 90% of life's cares and worries you can handle yourself. You only need this verse for when you have the hospital appointment, or when perhaps you have the sudden phone call, or the accident. But this verse is telling us no. This care, this casting of our care, is to be the whole of our life in all its varied experiences. Certainly it's at the moment of conversion, when we repent of our sins and we bring our lives before God and commit ourselves to him. It begins there, but it's to be a daily experience. Whatever the cares, whatever the worries, whatever the trouble, whatever we struggle with, the main concern was that the burden of our unforgiven sin, first of all, had to be dealt with. The cares of a life under the curse of God certainly had to be priority. But then, after that, all our cares and all our worries were to be brought to him. In the gospel, it has become very clear that this major difficulty has already been overcome. The worry and the anxiety about things that we have said, things that we have done, places we have been, the consequences for it, not only in this life and in our relationships one with another, but in our relationship with God. All that anxiety and worry has already been dealt with. Peter himself, in this first letter, in chapter 3 and verse 18, has brought it into sort of a sentence that helps us to understand. 1 Peter 3:18 reads, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, for what purpose? To bring you to God." To bring you to God. And in one sense, once that matter is dealt with, that's the care, that's the worry, that's the anxiety we have. That's what the Spirit of God brings upon us in terms of a conviction and a concern. And then once that is dealt with, we learn then to be able to cast all our worries and cares upon him. As we cast the burden of our sin upon the Saviour and realize that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were getting better, but even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We begin then to appreciate how much he continues to care for us. Now, don't miss the small but certainly significant word "all" here. Cast all your anxiety on him. That tells us that we are to place the whole of our cares, every kind. For the greatest concern we know has been dealt with at Calvary. So we must continue to then to bring even the smallest concern and anxiety to him also. And he wants us to do so. If we can have faith to trust God regarding our eternal security, we need also to develop faith to commit the daily details of our temporal life. Now notice what we are to do. We are to cast all our cares. The pronoun is yours. Your care. Cast all your care. And that informs us it's our personal difficulties, the personal tensions, the personal pressures that are to be laid before him. We're not meant, now that we have come into this union, this being joined with Jesus, as we spoke to the boys and girls about. Now that we've got that stamp of salvation on our hearts and on our lives, we're marked and set apart by the Spirit of God, and we have the earnest of the Spirit working in us. We're not meant now then to carry these things on our own and to turn inwards. We're meant to lay them. We're meant to cast them. We're meant to throw them on him. Not only the great matters of state on the international scene, but the individual, peculiar, private matters that overwhelm us at times. And the term here, translated in the NIV as anxiety, comes from a word that means to draw us in different directions. It points to those things that distract our minds, disturb our peace, occupy our thinking to such a degree that it produces a sense of us being divided. Do you get this experience? There are times I can't sit down, but I can't do anything. And it's almost as if I'm just pacing around and because there's something going on. There's a conflict. There's a decision has to be made. A phone call has to be made, or something has to be done, and you can't rest. You're perturbed by it. And we need to learn to throw it, to cast it first upon the Lord. Some things we know they are ahead of us. And despite seeking to plan a way as best through it ourselves, we think about it, we make a decision, and then what do we find ourselves doing? We're completely back at the beginning of the scenario, and we're thinking it through again, as if we've never thought about it. And the care, the anxiety presses upon us. Other concerns come unannounced. They come from nowhere, without any warning. And we can be instantly distressed and restless with a sense of unease. We're clearly instructed what to do in such times as that. Where to cast it, where to cast our anxieties. Notice, not where, but on whom. Cast your anxieties on him. It means simply give it to God. Leave it in his mighty hands. Now, pride, which Peter had also addressed in verse 5, manifests itself sometimes in times of trying to cope and deal with these things in our own strength. And humility, as verse 5 and 6 reminds us, is seen in a spirit of dependence upon God. The reason we can confidently pass on or hurl or throw these things upon God is clearly stated. Because he cares for you. He cares for you. One commentator says, this is the distinctive of Christianity and biblical faith. Other religions have their ceremonies or their rituals which are occupied with the business of making God care for us, to arouse the slumbering interests of the deity, to have him to look on us, to have him to take interest in us. Well, the Christian begins with that platform already in place. That's your standing ground. That's where you begin. You don't have to sort of draw attention. You don't have to gain his gaze. You don't have to work to draw attention. You're standing on this ground to begin with. Notice how Paul speaks of it in Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him graciously give us all things? If he's dealt with that great issue, will he not care for us in the ordinary issues of our health and finance and difficulties? It's already then the watchful care of God in his affection for us. For he now loves us in Christ Jesus, his dear son. You are the object of God's care, because you are linked and united now to Jesus Christ in union with him. And as the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted himself to God, as we read in 1 Peter again, chapter 2, verse 23, it reminds us we also are to commit ourselves to his care, initially in repentance and faith, certainly, but also then on a daily basis. Now let's illustrate this truth very briefly from the life of Peter himself, and then I'll share a personal illustration to conclude. Peter's life, as recorded in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, wonderfully illustrates this point. Peter's not just talking theory here. At various times in Peter's life, he saw clear evidence of God's care for himself and for those around him. Let's briefly look at a few instances. Are you someone who has anxiety this morning about family members? Peter's mother-in-law was ill, and Jesus enabled her to recover. You read of it in Mark chapter 1 from verse 29. Do you have concern about finances? Are you going to make ends meet? Well, Peter knew the care of God in a wonderful catch of fish, Luke 5 from verse 1, which provided food to eat and food to sell. And even with respect to the paying of his taxes, Peter knew the care of God when he threw now not a net but a line and caught a single fish in which was a 4-piece drachma coin to pay the temple tax for himself and for the Lord Jesus. Family, finance, are you fatigued? Are you tired out? Are you worn out? Well, Jesus displayed awareness of the needs of his disciples for refreshment, and he told his disciples, you read of it again, Mark chapter 6, verse 31, and we remember Mark's gospel really is the personal account of Peter. What does the Lord Jesus say? Come with me yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Peter also knew the care of God when he stepped out in faith. A faith in a venture. Peter was the only one who stepped out of that boat, wasn't he? And yet then he began to drown. Did Jesus allow him to drown? As he stepped in, Jesus stepped in to his life at that very moment. Jesus reached out with his hand and caught him. Failures. Are you troubled by your failures this morning? Remember how Jesus dealt with Peter's outburst when he cut off Malchus's ear. He healed the ear. But right to what Peter had done wrong. Lord Jesus can cover all of our failures and our sins in our past life. We also remember that Jesus told Peter that, yes, he would deny him 3 times, but that Jesus had prayed for him, that his faith would not fail. Luke 22, verse 32. Have you been a Peter like that? Are you concerned, perhaps, in the face of foes and opposition? Well, Peter's own testimony before these believers who were facing persecution was that God's care had been shown him, that he'd been delivered from the ill will of a king, King Herod, who desired to bring Peter to public trial. Now, James, the brother of John, had already been killed. But Peter knew the care of God in that he was delivered. So can you see simply in those illustrations here, that Peter was talking not theory, he was talking of practical experience, illustrating the truth that he was now sharing with these believers in modern-day Turkey. A Christian has only to reflect on the past to see evidence of God's care. Many a student has proved the reality of Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. I remember it coming particularly to me at the time of my time in university. You will keep him in perfect peace on whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. There are others who have proved the reality of Psalm 56 verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I'm sure many a testimony could be given this morning about verses of scripture that have been proven in reality in difficult times. God's care for his people. I mentioned one personal illustration as I close this morning. So well over 30 years ago, I would visit a dear man, not a member of the fellowship here. He had sisters who were. And on his death, his widow insisted, as I called to see her, that I take some of his books. And I still use them today. And also a warm overcoat that her husband had worn. I thanked her for her kindness. And I shared with her the last occasion I'd spoken to him. His bed was now downstairs in the front room. He was frail. And he had the Bible on his lap. And on inquiring, I asked him what he was reading. And he said, well, he was only reading one verse. Oh, he'd read the Bible many times. So I inquired, well, what one verse was he reading? Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. He said, it's a great comfort to me in my dying hours. He knew he was going. We read it together. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. I had the privilege of telling his widow I was grateful for the books, grateful for the coat. But the memory of that dying saint and the comfort he drew from God's word as he faced the end of life, that has had much more of an impact upon me. And I've often read that verse and personally drawn strength from the truth that God cares for his saints. So whatever is distracting you or burdening you today, cast all your care on him. Every ounce of the burden, every part of the dilemma, every second of the trauma. And having done so, leave it with him. Don't be like that traveller, weighed down with a heavy rucksack and baggage that was offered a lift in an open-top vehicle, which he took and then insisted on standing with his head out through the roof, still carrying the rucksack and the bags in his hand. He had only to lay them down to know perfect peace and rest that should have been his. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Amen.